I'm excited about today, and I'll tell you why. It was over Christmas holidays, our older son, Wesley, went to one of the Torchbearer Bible schools for five nights and up in Colorado called Ravencrest. And during that week, they were teaching through the book of Galatians. And when he got home, he said, "Dad, it was really great." And I said, "How was the Bible teacher?" And he said, "Oh, he was really good." I said, "Well, what's his name?" He said, "His name is Adam Alexander." I said, "Is he good, like the kind of good that I would want to track down?" And he said, "Yeah, Dad, he is that kind of good. He really crushed it. Every talk he gave was really interesting, and we kept learning so many good things." And he said, "And I just sort of knew you would probably want it, so I've already got his contact information for you." And so I reached out in January to Adam, and we began to connect by phone and just began to develop a friendship. And in April, I think it was, he flew over from Jacksonville, Florida. That's where he lives with his family. And he spent the morning with our staff. He did our staff link and did a wonderful teaching. And several on the staff said, "Boy, I hope that you're going to be bringing him back." And I said, "It's already on the plan. And so I'm really excited that you're going to get to hear Adam Alexander as he comes to continue our series on Judges. Welcome him."
Thank you. I told Ken it's fitting that in Judges, he gave the bald guy, Samson, who's known for his lovely locks. I'm really thankful to be here with you, to be a part of the FaithBridge family. My wife, Allison, is back in Jacksonville. We have five sons. Our house is loud and smelly all the time. And so they send their love. I'm so grateful to be able to be here with you, to open God's word and to study in this series with you. We've been in Judges now for a couple of weeks. And so we're going to continue to dive in and look at this character, Samson. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it with me to Judges chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible. You can raise your hand. Some of these ushers will bring you one. You can keep it. It's our gift to you. Or you can leave it on the seat, whatever you choose with that. But we're going to be in Judges chapter 13, 14, and 15 today, looking at the story of Samson. Next week, Clay will be with you and finish up the story of Samson when we are in Judges chapter 16. But before we begin, let's pray together and ask the Lord to be with us. Father, oh, you are so good and you are so kind. I'm so grateful for the privilege that I have this morning to be with my friends here at FaithBridge, to open your word, to study it together. And God, I pray right now that every word that comes forth from my mouth will be the very words of my Father in heaven. And God, I pray that you will do what you always do, that you will stir up in our hearts and our minds what it means to walk in obedience to you, to live in the fullness of relationship with our Creator and with our Savior. So God, be with us in this time. We ask all of this in your name. We pray. Amen. Well, you know what's been going on in Judges. We continue to have this cycle of sin. We see the Israelites do whatever they want, what is ever evil in the eyes of the Lord, and then they are put into slavery, then they make supplication, and then God does this saving of them. I love what Duffy said last week. It's like a Taylor Swift album, and we see happening in the nation of Israel. Well, at the end of Jephthah's reign, some of his sons take over, and they judge Israel for a while, but then Israel does what Israel does. They sinned and did what was ever right in their own eyes, evil before the Lord, and were taken again into captivity, this time by the Philistines. We see these pesky Philistines all throughout Israel's history in the Old Testament, but God does what he always does in our own mess, in our own captivity, in our own sin. He sends a rescuer and a redeemer and provides a way out. And the way out that he provides in this story in Judges is through Samson. So let's take a look and understand the context of where we are. In Judges chapter 13, we see this principle. Samson was set apart by God for God with clear guidelines for future flourishing. So Samson was a man that was set apart by God for God with clear guidelines to flourish into the future. We see in Judges chapter 13 that there's this angel that visits Samson's mother and father. And this is what is said. An angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." So we see it laid out really clearly. What we see is this angel visiting Samson's mother and father and giving them these clear guidelines of this Nazarite vow. This Nazarite vow that we see in the scripture comes from the book of Numbers. And there's three primary things that are associated with the Nazarite vow. Number one is they would take no wine or strong drink. And this was to show a commitment to a lack or a non-pursuit of overindulgence. Second, they would deal with no dead corpses. And this was to keep the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. And then third, they were to not have haircuts. And the reason they were not to have haircuts was to show their dedication to this Nazarite vow. It's interesting because most of the time, a Nazarite vow is kept for a certain period of time. However, with Samson, it is a Nazarite vow that was to be kept from birth. And so this was to be his whole life, a commitment to what God had laid out for him so that God would use him as the deliverer of his people, Israel, under the hand of the Philistines. So do you see it? Clear guidelines for future flourishing. A man set apart by God for the very purposes of God with a clear direction on how to live so that the nation of Israel will flourish. When we have clear directions, it's good for us to follow them. This is primarily given in cooking. In my house, my wife is the cook. I am a terrible cook. In fact, I only get relegated to grill duties. And so one day, several years ago, I had the task of grilling pork chops. And so I got on my phone and I Googled a good pork chop seasoning. And so I looked at this pork chop seasoning and it gave me directions step by step. And as I looked at these directions and started to put the spices on the rub, I decided that teaspoons and tablespoons were interchangeable. And so I thought, yeah, I like it a little spicy. And so teaspoon, tablespoon, tomato, tomato. And I put a whole tablespoon of cayenne pepper. Yeah, come to find out, that's not good. And so I cooked them up and I grilled them and I brought them in and cut them up for my little kids at the time. And they took a bite and were like, "It's so spicy, I can't eat it." And I said, "Toughen up, eat this, it's really good for you." And then I took a bite. And I realized we are going out to dinner. And I recognized in that moment, if I would have followed the clear directions as it was intended, the pork chops would have come out much better. But when I took it into my own hands and decided it didn't really matter that a teaspoon or a tablespoon, whatever, I realized that it turned out for my destruction and my having to go out to dinner with all of my kids. You see, this is what was laid apart for Samson. Samson was a man that was set apart by God, for God, with clear guidelines for future flourishing. But as we continue to look at the story of Samson, we see something really unique happen. We see that Samson received the Spirit of God to do the work of God, but often acted in the flesh to fulfill his own desires. We see not only was he set apart by God and for God with clear guidelines, he was empowered by the Spirit of God to do the very work of God. I love this because we can see this so clearly evident in the scripture that the Spirit came upon Samson to be the deliverer that God intended him to be. In fact, let's just look at a few of the examples through chapter 14 and chapter 15. First, in Judges chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, And although he had nothing in his hand, that's key, he tore a lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. Okay, you're a little bit better than the first service. Think about this for a second. He took his bare hands and a lion that rushed on him, and the Spirit of the God empowered him, and he tore a lion apart. Wow. Let's keep going. We see in chapter 14, verse 19, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. My son Benjamin, he's 10 years old, and he is obsessed right now with The Karate Kid. He watches it all the time on Netflix, and he'll go around our house ready to take on all of his brothers. But if it was 4-on-1, he'd be in big trouble. And here's Samson taking on 30 dudes and being victorious, empowered by the Spirit of God to do the work of God against the enemy of God. We see another story in Judges chapter 15 where he catches 300 foxes and ties their tails together and sticks a torch in their tails and lets them go and burns down Philistine fields. I was just in Zion National Park with my family for vacation, and there were these little squirrels that were coming up to you because they wanted to eat your food. And my son Andrew, he's 13, had a goal to catch a squirrel while we were there. Guess how many squirrels he caught? Zero. And then Samson comes on the scene and catches 300 foxes and ties their tails together and lights fields on fire. We see in Judges 15, there's this phrase, hip and thigh destruction, where he gets in wrestling matches and overpowers these Philistine soldiers and men. And then we see something really crazy happen. Listen to what it says in chapter 15. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms, he was tied up, became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. You ready for this? And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put it out in his hand and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men. The number one argument at my dinner table right now is this thing you may have seen, where is it 100 men versus one gorilla? Who would win? Well, I'm going to bring up tonight at dinner when I get home, what about 1,000 men versus one dude with a jawbone of a donkey? Imagine this. This is the enemy, the people that have God's people in captivity, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Samson, and he kills 1,000 people with just this bone from a donkey. And then Judges chapter 15, verse 20 says this, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines nearly 20 years. Friends, this is a man set apart by God, for God, empowered by the Spirit to do the work of God. But if you know the story of Samson, it doesn't just stop there. Samson, although he was set apart by God, for God, received the Spirit of God to do the work of God, he often acted in his own flesh to fulfill his own sinful desires. He continued to trip up on himself, and this was primarily in the way of compromise and conditional obedience. When we look at some of the acts in the flesh to fulfill his own desires of Samson, we see in Judges chapter 14 that he was a lustful womanizer. He gazed upon a woman and said, I want to have her as my own. Listen to what it says in Judges chapter 14, verse 8. After some days, he returned to take her, this woman that he had gazed upon, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey, and he scraped it out with his hands and went on eating as he went, and he came to his father and his mother and gave some to them, and they ate, but he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of a lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there. For so the young men used to do. What do you see that he does in this passage? Remember his Nazarite vow? No carcasses. And what's he do? He digs in a fresh lion carcass. No strong drink, yet he throws a feast. And in the Old Testament, the feasts were filled with strong drink. You see, Samson was a man that was empowered by God to do the very work of God, but so often he wanted what he wanted, and he would compromise to get the very thing that his flesh desired. Yes, I know that God has said this. Oh, but I want this. We see other parts of this story where he instigates people through a riddle. He's easily manipulated. He responds as a hothead with anger. And in Judges chapter 15, verse 18, we see this. He was very thirsty and he called upon the Lord and he said, "You granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant, and shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" In this moment, he's saying, "God, I did this for you. Why are you not doing this for me?" It was a form of conditional obedience. "God, if you do this, then I will do this." During COVID, my family decided that we needed something else on our plate, so we got a dog. And we named our dog Dude. It's a little fluff ball, and I said, "You know what, I'm gonna train Dude. I've got the time to do this." Right now, during COVID, I was working from home, and so we got a bucket of treats, and I said, "Dude, sit." And I would push his bottom down, and I would give him a treat. And then I would say, "Dude, sit." I'd push his bottom down, give him a treat. And then I started to say, "Dude, sit." And he would sit, and I would give him a treat. And I was like, I'm killing it as a dog trainer. I mean, I've got it figured out. We had some friends come over, and I said, "Hey, let me show you my new career of dog training." And I said, "Hey, dude, sit." You know what Dude did? He just looked at me. And I said, "Dude, sit." And he just looked at me. I tried to push his bottom down, and his back legs were locked in. He wasn't going anywhere. And then he did this. Looked at the treats and looked back at me. And so I grabbed a treat, and I said, "Dude, sit." And guess what he did? He sat. Can I tell you a little secret? You and I were just like Dude. "Yes, God, I'll obey what you have for me if I know that I'm gonna be safe. Yes, God, I will obey these commands if I know that my family is gonna be taken care of. Yes, God, I know that you've called me to do this at work, but only if I get the promotion that I'm looking for." I think that that was Samson. "God, I'm doing this. Why aren't you giving me? You're gonna just let me die? I need to have me. He was so willing to compromise, and he was so willing to have conditional obedience. And I asked the question, how are we similar? I loved what Duffy said last week to us when he said this idea that we are just like these judges. And friends, you and I are just like Samson. You see, we are people that are set apart by God, for God, with clear guidelines for future flourishing. You and I are a people that God has rescued and redeemed so that we can be a part of the very work that he's doing in a watching world. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So beloved, my friends at Faithbridge, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which were wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Friends, I hope you heard what I just said. I want you to look at me for this. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a people for God's own possession. And you want to know something even bigger than that? You have a purpose. One of my favorite passages in all the New Testament is 2 Corinthians 5. And 2 Corinthians 5 tells us this, that you are a new creature in Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. And you know what is unique about that? Is that when we become a new creature in Christ, it says next, that you are given the ministry of reconciliation. It means that you have a role to play in a watching world. And then it tells us that right after that, it says all we have to do is open our mouths. And guess what? God does the reconciling. And when God does the reconciling, you know what happens? More people become new creatures in Christ. And you know what happens to them? They receive the ministry of reconciliation. Then they open their mouth. And then God does the reconciling. And then another person becomes a new creature in Christ. And they're given the ministry of reconciliation. Then they open their mouth. And then God does the reconciling. And they become a new creature in Christ. Until the whole world hears about the name of Jesus. Friends, this is incredible news. You are a people like Samson that were set apart by God, for God, with clear guidelines for future flourishing. The scripture lays it out for us in a beautiful way that we have the authority of the written word of God to tell us how to live. But just like Samson, we have received the Spirit of God to do the work of God. But we often act in the flesh to fulfill our own desires. We recognize that we are not only called to be ministers of reconciliation, but we receive the Spirit of God to do the very work of God. I love Ephesians chapter 2, and the first 9 verses of Ephesians chapter 2 are this beautiful gospel picture. It tells us that we were dead in our trespasses, but God made us alive. And then verse 10 says this, for we, you and I, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So we, when we were brought back into relationship with Jesus, were given a role to play in the kingdom of God. And he has empowered us by his Spirit to do the very work that he has called us to do. We got to pause for a second. This is unbelievable. You ready for this? The very creator of the heaven and earth, the God who commanded nothing to become something and that nothing obeyed and became something, that God who holds all things together, is above all things, before all things, and in all things, that very God has seen you. He has rescued you. He has set you apart, and he has empowered you to do the very work of God. Amen? Oh, but we're like Samson, aren't we? We recognize that, and then we quickly become people who act in our own flesh to fulfill our own desires, and become compromisers and conditional obeyers. We say, yes, God, I know that you have a call on my life for purity, but nobody else in the world is doing it that way. We say, yes, God, I know you have a call and a command in my life of honesty. But one little lie never hurts. Yes, God, I know you've called me to a life of integrity at my work, but nobody gets ahead that way anymore. Yes, God, I know that you have called me to open my mouth and to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel. But what if people don't like me? Friends, this is not unique to you. This is my story. Several years ago, I went to India to be a part of an evangelism trip. And I went to India and I got on the airplane and was so excited, and we went village to village to village, and we were preaching the gospel and saw God do amazing things, amazing things. People were calling upon the name of Jesus for salvation, and it was awesome. And then the trip was over and I was exhausted. And I got on the airplane to come home and I sit down, and guess what's next to me? An empty seat. And I'm thinking, oh God, you just are blessing your servant. And people get on the airplane, and I think, oh, please don't get this seat. Please, Lord, please continue to bless me. And people would pass by, and I was like, oh, the favor of the Lord. And guess what? The last person to get on the airplane, guess where their seat was? Right next to me. And you know what I thought in that moment? I thought, I pray to God that they put in headphones or go to sleep so I don't have to talk to them. And guess what she did? Nothing. She sat there with no headphones, nothing on her screen, nothing to read, didn't sleep a wink. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to her about Jesus. I just got done. I'm tired. And so I decide that I'm going to watch a movie, and I plug in my headphones. And you'll never believe this. Guess what stopped working immediately? I call the stewardess, and she's like, I have no idea, sir. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, Lord. And so I think, okay, well, this is not a sign yet. So I pull out my iPad. And of course, I only have one thing downloaded, and it's a sermon by a guy named Francis Chan on evangelism. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. So finally, I put it away. And after compromising and obeying with conditions, I finally said, Lord, okay, you've got a clear command for me. This is an opportunity. And I opened my mouth and talked about Jesus. And after a long conversation, I said, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? And she's like, no, but I am flying to Dubai to go work for my family. And I was told I was going to be placed with a Christian family. And I was like, okay, Lord. Flourishing. You're doing a good work in this place. So friends, I tell you that because it's everywhere in our lives. And we are a people who have received the Spirit of God to do the work of God. But we so often act in our own flesh to fulfill our own desires. And I'm pleading with you that we see ourselves in Samson. That we recognize that we have been set apart by God for the purposes of God with clear guidelines. That we recognize that we have been empowered by the Spirit of God to do the work of God. And when we recognize that beautiful privilege, we will lay aside our compromise and we will lay aside our conditional obedience. But you may be asking, how do I do that? I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. We read this at the beginning of our time together, and I loved us starting off with that, because what does it mean for us to live as a better Samson? For us to live as a better Samson means we must do a couple of things. First, we remember who we are. We then surrender our fleshly desires, and then we live faithfully from this day forward. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 say this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Friends, we need to be a people who remember who we are. We were dead in our trespasses, but God made us alive. We were once not a people, but now we are the people of God. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. I loved what Clay said a couple of weeks ago to us. He said, who is God telling you who you are? Look at Ephesians 1. You are blessed, redeemed, forgiven, adopted, sealed. That is your identity. And what Duffy said last week to us, that we have a better Samson to look to and a perfect judge in Jesus, who saw us in the midst of our sin and redeemed us out and gave us life. So we've got to be a people who remember who we are. And then we've also got to be a people, according to Colossians 3, verse 5, that put to death what is earthly in us. We put to death the flesh and we surrender our desires. This is not something that we're saying just put in a closet when it's convenient. It is not saying just kind of lay it aside. It is put to death our desires of the flesh. Put to death the circumstances where we want comfort, where we compromise, where we conditionally obey. Lay it at the feet of Jesus, because he has empowered us to do the very work that he's called us to do. And then we see this. We put on our new identity and we live faithfully moving forward. Colossians 3 tells us this. We put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, and singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And ready for this? And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, teaspoons and tablespoons matter. God has graciously given us clear guidelines for what it means to live a life that is full and flourishing. In the moments that we think we know better and we compromise or we choose conditional obedience, we miss out. And we're going to see next week in the fall of Samson what happens when you continue to live a life of compromise and conditional obedience. I'm going to close up with a story. So you may have heard of the Crusades. This was a religious war in the 11th, 15th century time. And they were fighting in the name of God. And these crusaders, there's a story, a legend that goes with it that says they would recruit soldiers from neighboring nations. And they would recruit them to come and fight in these religious wars. And because they were religious wars and they wanted them to fight in the name of God, they thought, what are we going to do? Well, let's baptize them so that they can understand our purpose in moving forward. And so these soldiers from neighboring nations would come and they would be baptized. But the legend says that they would be baptized in a unique way. They would be baptized, but out of the water, they would hold their weapon. And they would say, you can have every part of me, but you're not taking this. Sure, I'll fight in the name of your religion, but you're not taking my weapon. And many of us in this room live the exact same way. We've been set apart by God and for God, given the Spirit of God to do the work of God, with clear guidelines, and we say, yes, God, I'm in, except for my bank account and my 401k. Yes, God, whatever you say, I'm in, except for this relationship that I so long for. God, you can have my whole life, oh, but don't take my kids. You can have everything that I have, but please, I'm going to hold out this promotion because I've earned it and I've fought for it. Maybe it's your reputation. Maybe it's the image that you portray on social media. Maybe it's something different. I don't know, but I invite you right now to ask the question, what is it that you're holding out of the water? Friends, we're just like Samson. Set apart to do incredible things by the power of God. But oh, how quickly we fall when we choose ourselves. And so I invite you today, say, I surrender all. Whatever I'm holding out, I'm gonna lay it down. And I'm gonna live a life of flourishing for my good and ultimately for God's glory. Friends, I don't know what that means for you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, it's going to be pretty, but I am telling you this, it's going to be full. You, my friends, me, we are set apart by God for the very purpose of God. We are given the Spirit of God to do the work of God. So let's remember that. Let's surrender our desires and let's live faithfully forevermore. Father in heaven, I come to you right now and ask that your Spirit be moving in this place. That in these coming moments as we worship together, that you will draw to mind what it is that we're holding out of the water. And we will lay it down. And we'll take the warning of Samson and remember it for our own lives. And we will live in such a way that we walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, that we recognize the glorious hope of grace and your Spirit to do the very work that you've called us to do. So Lord, we do surrender all. We cannot wait to watch what you do with your people, your children, open-handed, remembering who we are, surrendering our desires, and living faithfully. We love you, King Jesus.